Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the podcast. My name is Stephen Reed, part of the team here at Music and Ministry. And today we're going to start a new series, kind of a mini series, probably going to be a bit more of a maxi series again, but it's on one of my favorite subjects, which is the subject of generations. And in all of our travels, and we have been to almost every state in the United States, several foreign nations, the question we get asked the most by far is going to be, how do we reach the young people? And then the second most asked question would be from young people kind of wondering, how do we get the older people let us do what we want to do, or some combination of all of those things. And so when we first started, it kind of took us aback because I was like, I don't know that I 100% know how to do that. And so we kind of figured out real quickly, we needed to come up with some answers. And so in all of our travels, we were able to minister at a lot of places, but we also had the privilege of going and attending quite a few different services and seeing different churches that were in fact reaching multiple generations. And then also just started studying and listening to people on the subject, but also then interviewing other people, and ultimately felt like the Lord showed us some various things. And so we have ended up doing a lot of teaching, a lot of studying, a lot of research, and then even writing a book on generational worship. And so a lot of what we're going to cover here in the next few episodes of the podcast can be directly related to this book called Generational Worship, The Seed, The Soil, and The Sun, which you can get from all of the booksellers that are out there, and sometimes is even available at your local library, an audio book and or printed book. And so our local library has this in audiobook. So just for fun, I checked it out this last week and listened to it, and was excited that, hey, other people had listened to it too, to be honest. All right. So excited about talking about it. Let's jump into it here as we get started. All right, so there's a lot that we could dive into, and honestly, this is a pretty big subject, and one, again, that I find very fascinating. But just to get started, like, knowing the most important thing right at the beginning is going to be understanding that the generations change. And so one of the biggest mistakes that I see many churches making is that they get to this place where they have grown with a certain group of people to a certain age, and then they kind of look back and they realize, oh, there's no young people, and we're all about the same age. Or in some cases, churches will get to where they start dying off, where their oldest members are dying and then majority of their members are dying, and they look back and there's no one that's back behind them to kind of carry the torch and to, you know, fund the ministry and all of those things that come along with the different age stages of generations. And then they kind of panic and they're like, whoa, wait a minute, we're dying as a church in the sense of numbers, and we're losing more people than we're gaining. And then they start to say, okay, well, let's make some changes. And other people are a little more subdued in their approach, but what we then tend to do, and what most people will do, is that they will start to look back and they'll think to myself, what did I like when I was in my 20s? Or what do I wish we would have done when I was in my 20s or 30s? And then they look around at the churches that appear to be having success with those groups, and then they say, well, let's emulate what it is that they're doing. And unfortunately, that seems like that should make sense, but this is the key here, is that there is a new young. And on the opposite side of that, which is also true, is there is a new old. And so part of the book that I'm talking about is, how do we separate what is inherently a part of being a 20-year-old that all 20-year-olds have, regardless of which generation you grew up in and through time, just because there's biological things that are happening in your 20s and in your teens, versus this group grew up in the Depression, this group grew up in the pandemic, this group grew up without technology. How did those things impact their age? And then thus they're different and they have different preferences. And so the first thing that we have to do is that we have to not let ourselves go back to our defaults of what I wanted when I was a 20-year-old. And I know this because I've seen it happen, and I know it because I did it myself. And I'll just give you a quick example of that. When I was youth pastor of a church in Glenwood Springs, Colorado, of all places, right on the I-70 corridor, beautiful place. I was a pretty young, hip guy, you know, I thought so at least. And so I had the ability and the authority to kind of make the youth service be whatever it is that I wanted it to be. And so I also had a small budget. And so I set about creating the kind of youth group that I always wish that we would have had when I was in youth group. And so we had arcade style video games, and we had Dance Dance Revolution pads. We had lots of pizza. We had a pool table, we had a ping pong table. We had, I got all the flashing lights. I got a haze machine, and we did it up. And I thought it was great. All my leaders thought it was great, but it turned out that some of the kids kind of complained about a few of the things, and they would, you know, come to me and be like, can we turn off the haze machine? And I'd be like, what are you talking about? The haze machine is what's making this happen right now. It's the part that makes it cool. And they would, you know, just kind of give me a like, all right, buddy, whatever, and move on. And I even told some of them out of my mouth. I said, look, you don't realize this is cool, right? And again, because I thought it was cool, because my wife thought it was cool, because all of my other leaders thought it was cool, we had this self-affirming, self-reassuring thing of like, yes, we're doing it. Other people would come and see our facility and be like, oh, wow, this is unbelievable. This is, yeah, I wish we could do this at our place. And again, just kept reaffirming all those things, except for the kids that we were trying to reach. It wasn't their preference. They didn't exactly like it. And so I can remember several specific days where we had all of the stuff set up, and I would take time to make sure it was all there and ready. And then I would walk out into the room, and there would be nobody in there. None of our kids were in the room with all the cool stuff. They were all outside hanging out on the grass, talking with each other. And I like walked outside, and I said, guys, what are you doing, right? And even then, I don't know that I 100% recognized that I was not doing what they wanted. I was doing what I wanted. And so what ends up happening is, because you are no longer 20 or 18, I'm no longer 20 or 18, if I try to do what I liked when I was 20 or 18, then the current 20 or 18 year olds, there's a portion of them that may like it, but the people who are going to like it are going to be all the people who are now my same age. And so instead of reaching the actual young people, I'm gonna reach all of the old young people who are, again, all my same age. And so again, it would be very reaffirming, like, oh yeah, this is great, we're getting younger, this should work. But then it doesn't work because, again, we don't recognize that there's a new young in town. So if I can help you in any way, and the places that I've seen where it's been the most successful, is that you have to form a team, get a group of people that are the age that it is that you're trying to reach, and you have to let them inform you and tell you whether or not that's authentic or what it is that they're looking for. And so the churches that seem to do the best are when the pastors have kids that are the age that it is that they're looking for, because the kids then have their pastors, their parents' ears, and they say, hey, mom, this isn't cool anymore. And they're a lot more willing to listen to them than they are willing to maybe listen to somebody else who isn't as heavily invested in the ministry as their own family. So again, that's really easy to do if you have pastors who have kids that are the age that is that you're looking for. They're trustworthy, they're still hanging around, all those sort of things. But I have also seen groups of people who formed a committee, got people of that age group, and then they just ask a lot of questions and ask them to define things and to show them things. Because we're going to, as adults, say like, oh yeah, yeah, that's like this. But it's like, no, it's like that, but it's not quite the same. And so we have to then start recognizing, how is it different? And that takes a lot of maturity and a lot of realization for us as leaders to then recognize, okay, they didn't have the same experiences that I have. They don't have these skills that I have. They don't have the same perspective of things. But we just kind of like assume that everybody does. And so as I've led sessions in this format for different churches and organizations, I will have somebody who's younger say something, and then they'll reference something or whatever, and then I will stop and say, okay, how many of you know what it is that they're talking about? And basically no one will raise their hand because they don't know the band that they referenced or whatever store it is that they referenced. Now everybody's in shock. The young person's in shock, like, what do you mean? Like, you don't know who that is? And then all the old people are like, oh yeah, I guess we don't actually know who that is. Or I'll have an older person tell something, and then I will stop them and I will ask everybody else, do you know who it is that they're talking about? Do you understand the event that that was? And the younger people will be like, no, I have no idea. And again, the older people are shocked that they don't know what it is that they're talking about. And so we just have all of this misunderstanding that we're not aware of. And unless we really dive in and purpose to get to know people, we're going to just assume that they're like us or they were like us. And then when we try to do what we thought was cool, then it ends up failing on so many different levels. And so the other idea that I want to really cover here early in this series of whatever it is that we're going to do here is the idea of how do we reach those people. And so a lot of churches will take what would be traditionally known as, maybe I call it the segmented approach, meaning that for the older people, there's like a senior citizens group, and then there's going to be a traditional service, then there's going to be a contemporary service, there's going to be a young adults group, there's going to be a high school group, maybe a middle school group, then there's going to be children's church, and ultimately there'll be a nursery. And so all of the age ranges are being ministered to, and things are being customized for them, but it's all segmented, it's all separate. The older people aren't hanging out with the younger people, and why would you ever do that, right? And so what most churches struggle with is not that, most people are good at that, is the other thing, which is then how do you reach people in the same setting? You know, so in one service, how do we have 80-year-olds worshiping next to, you know, 20-year-olds or 50-year-olds in the same service where everybody likes the service? And so another approach that people will take will be what is sometimes referred to as a blended service. And so they will do one hymn for the old people, they'll do a chorus, then they're going to do a modern praise and worship song that's big and loud, and then they'll do something different for the offering. And so everybody kind of gets something that they like, but then most people's criticism of that service is that then nobody gets what they really want. You have to sit through the rest of it. So you like a portion of it, but you hate the rest of it. And so a lot of people then are looking for, okay, like we tried this, we're trying to do that, what do we do? And my approach is going to be what I would say is that we're looking for common ground. What is it that we all like? Every generation likes certain things, and there's going to be some things that are on the outside, whereas some people like punk rock and other people like EDM music or dubstep. Well, not every generation likes all of those things, but there is this core amount of stuff that all generations like. And if we can tend to live more in that area, then we're going to be able to reach everybody in ways that isn't going to annoy somebody. Now, there are, and I feel like I just have to have some like disclaimers here at the beginning, there are limitations to all of those things. I don't know that every church is really called to be like extremely multi-generational in the sense of like that 80-year-olds and 5-year-olds need to be in the same meeting having a significant encounter with the Lord. And maybe if that is, man, that would be unbelievable. But I think most churches are looking to like, okay, how do we at least extend ourselves to another generation and possibly go further? So we'll cover some of that more as we go. But again, what we're doing in all of our research isn't necessarily dependent on like, oh, 18-year-olds currently like this particular thing, so we're just going to throw that into the service. If we're not aware, that may just completely annoy 50-year-olds, and then you're going to end up losing people, because most people will say like, we want to reach the young people, but not at the expense of what we're currently doing. Like, we want to keep who we have and just pick up the 18 or the younger people or whoever would happen to be. So in that, it kind of makes things different. And so when you are looking at people who are successful in that space, you kind of got to look and say like, okay, yeah, they're reaching young people, but are there any old people? And if the answer is no, well, then you can't adopt 100% what it is they're doing, because in order to do that, you're probably going to lose all of your older people. So I'm not saying that I have all the answers. I'm not saying that I know all the ways to go, but I do believe the Lord showed us quite a bit of things as far as what to look out for. And so, as I've already mentioned, we're looking for, okay, we have to figure out who the new young people are. We also then have to figure out what it is that they need. We also have to figure out what it is that they want. And we then have to figure out what do the other generations need and want, and then try to live in the space where all of that overlaps as much as we possibly can. And that answer is going to be different for every single group, every single church, because we're also all living with what we would call culture, in the sense of like, life in LA is a whole lot different than Texas, which is a whole lot different than in the North. And it's going to be a whole lot different than Miami, a whole lot different than here in Nashville. We have our own culture here in Nashville, and what works here and what's cool here and what's going to reach a certain group of people is probably not going to work in some other place. And so we have to, again, change all of those things and understand those things. And that just takes a lot of us caring and loving about people to first know that we need to do that and then go find out what those answers are. So, you know, as much as I would like to be just like, oh, millennials are like this and boomers are like this, there are some truths to that, but not all boomers are the same. Not all millennials are the same. And again, just because we live in culture. And that's part of the book that I have there was talking about, okay, what is a matter of your generation? What part of it is just the age that you are? People in their 20s experience a particular thing. People in their 50s experience certain predictable things physiologically, emotionally, relationally that happen in that. But then we also have cultural things, because things, again, in maybe a tech-forward area like San Francisco, where people have been using driverless taxis for the last 5 years or however long it's been now. Whereas here in Nashville, I don't know that those exist. I've never been in one. And so there's a group of people who are living in a world where that's just their everyday reality, and a whole nother group of people who have never seen one. And I've only watched them, you know, freak out on the internet where they seem to capture people and won't let them go. So eventually that technology will make its way over to the rest of the world. I assume so, but it definitely changes how certain groups of people act. So again, those three things, your culture, your age, and then as we're talking more specifically about your generation. So again, we're just getting started here today, but I encourage you to get the book, check it out from your library if you can. And I believe it's gonna help you know the questions to ask and the things to look for. And we'll spend some time here maybe in the next one talking about how do we define those generations, who defines the generations, and then just some like things that you need to look out for and that are common amongst most. And again, your church is going to be unique to you, and you'll have to go and find out if those things are true. But I can at least give you some idea of what to look for and then how to move forward and to reach who it is that you're called to reach and do what it is that you're called to do. All right, well, that's it for today. If we can do anything for you, don't hesitate to ask. We're over at musicandministry.co. Hope you have a fantastic week, and we will talk to you next time.